action.
Is there any baseball that you guys want to talk about, Adam? I ask this because
I know. Do you know me at all?
I mean, it's April.
Teams are already mathematically eliminated.
You know, it's just like golf. These games matter as much as the games in August. And just like in golf, those little short putts.
This is
many strokes as the one big long one. So
they count the same.
Yes.
They don't mean the same to me.
No.
This is like baseball season is like a birdie putt on number two on Thursday.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I had to think about it for a second, but that's a good analogy.
Yeah, you did kind of catch on late there.
Yeah.
He does what he can.
All right.
Let's start this thing again. Okay. Episode 200. All right. Are you ready, Trent?
I'm ready.
Get over the giggles.
Okay.
All right. Episode 200. 200. And 5, 4.
Welcome to the Brothers in 3Z, the Sports Bar Talk podcast. Sports talk like you and your buddies talk. Eating wings, having beer, and a sports bar. Email the Brothers in 3Z at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Visit their site at brothersin3-z.com. Now put on your iPod, pull up a virtual bar stool, because you're now sitting with Adam, Trent, and Ryan, the Brothers in 3Z.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome once again to an episode of Brothers in 3Z, your sports bar talk podcast. This is episode 200. And there is much rejoicing. What we're going to do, and for the episode 200 extravaganza, is we're going to act like we've been there before, even though we'll never be here again. And we've never been here before. But we're going to act like it anyway.
Where am I? What is
every
this?
Time traveling.
Who are you?
Yeah, so all our big name guests and all that stuff that you're looking forward to, screw it. Eric Estrada is not
in retrospective.
Yeah. Yeah, a video montage of how
all you need to do is play Green Day's Time of My Life and that'll qualify it as a
That's
as a
right. That's
just
right.
Play that at the end and it'll be like,
yeah.
Oh,
fade.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
It would be. You can just put. I'll put it in the background of the outtakes. Anyway, I'm your host Trent. I'm here with my brothers Ryan and Adam. I don't know if I said that. And we're gonna talk sports just like you would, sitting at a bar eating some chicken wings, having some beers and whatever. And we are going to start off at the Masters. Cue the music.
a tradition like no other. I'm wearing my green jacket, by the way.
Oh, good. Good. Did you win that?
As I drive through and get 3 dozen donuts.
Mm. I'm wearing my green jacket and that's all.
That doesn't make show 200.
Yeah. And special. I'm not wearing my green jacket. So there you go. I'm not a winner. But that's okay. And Tiger Woods not a winner.
Not a winner.
This past weekend, he tried and did... You know, valiant effort and everything. He made the cut, which is more than what some people would have thought. But, you know, there were plenty of people out there who thought that he was going to win the whole thing. And I think Adam and I were on the side of we would not be surprised if he just ran away with it. I can't remember where Ryan was on.
Yeah, I think I agreed with that.
Yeah. So anyway, I think throughout the whole, I don't know, the whole circus, really. I mean, I don't know what it was like down there in terms of media coverage, but you could not turn on the TV from Monday through Sunday without seeing Tiger. Oh, here's Tiger. He's getting out of his car, and you know there's going to be a press conference, and now Tiger's going to use a napkin. And emerging from all of that was Phil Mickelson, your Masters champion.
Yeah, let's start with Tiger because I went through like I don't know if I'll call it a range of emotions, but when he did his presser on Monday, like I was good with it. Like I think he's been fair ever since he did the two interviews on ESPN and all that stuff. I thought, okay, we're done. He does not have to talk about this. He's given you everything he can. There's we've explored it all that he's going to give us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then I thought the remarks by Billy Payne were totally out of line. No, not out of line. They were out of order.
Yeah.
If Billy Payne would have said that 2 months ago, that would have seemed in line. But after Tiger had apologized, then to be scolded at that moment, out of order is the best way. So I'm like kind of sympathetic to him, or you know, I'm feeling bad about him. He says he's gonna be this new Tiger, and then sure enough, on Sunday. It's same old Tiger that I hate, you know, and I'm hoping he hits it in the water.
How'd you feel about his little lip out putt?
I'd never seen that before in my life from him.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him miss a couple, you maybe miss a putt from that distance, but never that step over a putt that casual and miss it.
Yeah.
Never. I've never seen it.
I was looking at that. I was like, that's a little long for him to be trying to tap that in. I mean, I really thought that Wes was stepping up to it, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, and that's it. So, I'm not offended by his language, but I'm offended by the fact that he said he was gonna clean it up, and he's not. And like I think I blogged about, I like his reactions and his excitement, his fist pumps, and all that stuff. I mean, it's fun, it's exciting, it's emotion, and I like that. So when he said that he was going to have to dial it back both positive and negatively, I was a little disappointed because I think you got to keep the fist bump, pump. So, but he's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
He has not changed. He has not really changed the way he's treated people. He absolutely could have strangled Peter Kostas in the post-round interview. You know, he said, well, you know, I'm going to try to be a better person. If I happen to win a few golf tournaments along the way, that's great. And I finished fourth. I didn't win. I came to win. I entered to win. It's like, okay, could you at least maybe have a little bit perspective or something like that? And that's Tiger. So anybody was expecting something different, and I guess I kind of fell for it. Not. He's great. He's unbelievable, but he's still a dick. And he still wants things on his terms. And I thought one of the best things that I heard over the week was that if he wins, I think it says a lot about him that he can absolutely put these things aside. He's like a cold-blooded assassin. He has no, like, emotions. If he can truly put all that stuff aside, then he's – that's might be the most scary thing. And I thought that was a pretty interesting way to look at it.
I was going to ask one thing about this, about Tiger, and it's interesting you bring up that quote, because I think it was another golfer that had said that, wasn't it, Adam?
You know what? I think it was Feinstein who said that, who quoted somebody anonymously, another golfer, I think, okay. Now that it's coming back to me.
Yeah. Well, I was – when I heard that, and somebody was explaining to me or saying, you know, that before they got to the point that this says that he's a cold-blooded assassin, if he can put these things aside, I was kind of wondering what it does say, or what it would have said, I guess, you know, if he would have won, about the state of golf in general, that a player can take, a player of Tiger Woods' caliber can take 100 and some days off and come back and win, you know, a major championship. Does that say something about his ability, or does it say something more about the field in general of golf, that maybe the competition right now isn't obviously as good or up to the level if a guy can pretty much walk off the street and come in and win a golf tournament, you know, when he hasn't played?
No, it's Tiger.
Okay.
It's Tiger. He's the best. Like I said, I think he's going to get Jack's record by far. I still think that he's the best it's ever been. So, you know, and it's not like he's got to be running laps or anything. You know, he's got to swing a golf club for 4 days. He's done for his entire life. So there is some element of timing that would be missing. But as far as like being, I would say it's more about his ability than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, let's not say, you know, devalue by saying some guy off the street.
Yeah. It's Tiger Woods off the street.
Yeah, it's Tiger Woods coming off the street. Sure. It's not like Roy McIlvoy from Tin Cup. You know? And to go back to what Adam was saying a little bit about Tiger being pretty much the same, do you expect all that change to happen in one tournament? I mean, honestly, I mean, there were times that I know that I've been out on the course and, you know, try to make it my personal goal for the day to not get too upset. And then I'll get upset and I'll be like, you know, I said I wasn't going to get upset and, you know, try to pull things back or something like that. But, you know, it's hard, especially when you're doing something that he's been doing since he was ever able to walk.
As long as you're old enough to swear, I guess.
Yeah.
No, and like I said, you're right. And I don't think he would have been
as disappointed had he not said anything.
Well, through the first 3 days or whatever, I was like, I was kind of sympathetic. But then when he, at the end of his round, he said, people are making too much of that. It's like, okay, so in his mind, I think, he was doing whatever. He wasn't like, well, I need to do better with that. I think he thought he was or something. I don't know.
But I
agree with you that that is a tough thing to change. And I think I understand that. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that he was more referring to this people specific picking up on one of the things that happened the day before. I mean, people picked up on one outburst and he didn't really, I don't know. Maybe. It's all elementary anyway, but I thought he was talking about one specific outburst that people seemed to latch on to from the day before, and I thought he was kind of right, you know, people making too much out of that one outburst.
Well, but you know what the other thing he said was? Well, I hit a bad shot or whatever, and should I be happy about that? Well, no, but there's a difference between not being real happy, oh, great, I hit it in the woods, tossing your club and saying, God damn it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not offended by that stuff, but you know what, when you drop your club, that's – you can control that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not like it flies out of your hands. You purposely, you know, bring it back and you just fling it down. Like, that's more than like – I can – the muttering under your breath or whatever, I'm with it. But what I'm saying is that I don't think he thinks he's – I think he thinks he's fixed or something with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There wasn't any indication to me that he's like, oh, you know what? I struggle with that a little bit. I think I still need to work. It's a work in progress. You know, I'm always going to have to fight that. It was, no, I think people are making too much of that. What, should I be happy? Okay, you little punk.
Well, just remember how hard it was for Happy Gilmore to overcome those outbursts. You know, it's going to be twice as hard for Tiger.
He needs that hot chick that's now on Modern Family.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Give him a stern look.
You know, when I was watching Tiger, I didn't have any, you know, I wasn't rooting for him to win, but I will say that, like, on Sunday when he missed the putt, I was like, ha-ha, you know, but I wasn't actively rooting for him to lose. I think that, you know, when I was more rooting for other people, I was rooting for Freddie. I was rooting for Phil. You know, I was rooting for Anthony Kim once he started to light it up on Sunday. You know, I was rooting for those people more than rooting against Tiger, I think.
Well, yeah, there were some other people in the mix, likable people in the mix that you got to see a lot other than Tiger, that it was kind of easier to have those kinds of things and better storylines and all that other stuff. It wasn't like Tiger versus Phil or Tiger versus Lee Westwood, and you had to pick between those two.
Well, and the good thing is, I mean, or I don't know if it's good or not, but you get almost the direct contrast. I mean, if not only does Phil win, but Phil has this story that is like the exact opposite of Tiger's. You know, he's got his family there, and his you know, he's been with his wife and his mom who've been working through breast cancer, struggling with breast cancer and trying to recover from that. And, you know, it's such a contrast from what you've been hearing about these women and all this gratuitous stuff for the week leading up and how much is going to come up and what's Tiger doing, to emerge from that and have Phil, you know, walk off 18 and hug his wife and, you know, weep. You know, it's strikingly different. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, but now more than ever, though, and I mean, like, I'm obviously a big Phil fan.
Right.
I'm not comfortable with him being, like, cast as the perfect guy.
Oh, no, because, no, no.
Because I'm just, like, waiting for his scandal to come out. You know, that's
what I was really surprised with right afterwards. Everybody wanted to do, like, what Trent was saying, take that and run with that angle and everything. And I kept, you know, I'm like you, Adam. I kept sitting back and I'm just like, you know, didn't we just learn not to kind of do this with our athletes?
But, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could, though? Wouldn't it be great to just believe?
I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm at the point where I'm just, you know, jaded about everything. I think everybody has something else going on in their lives besides what you see on TV. But I don't need that from my athletes. I want them to perform well. And just like Trent said, he wasn't kind of rooting for Tiger. I actually found myself rooting for Tiger like I always have, you know. And I remember, you know.
Disgusting.
I don't know. Every single time that he would hit a shot or make a putt, or yeah, I just found myself kind of falling back into, you know, he didn't screw me over. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just and you know, and I really don't care about how he acted on the course before, and had he not said something about changing his, you know, I don't think he needs to change his behavior on the course. I mean, what he needs to do is change his behavior in his life. What he was doing on the course didn't have any, you know, anything to do. They weren't, there's no relationship there between, you know, cussing and throwing your clubs on the golf course and, you know, screwing 15, 16 different, you know, IHOP waitresses. I mean,
well, the thing about this is, and you know, when Tiger was playing, it's just with this one tournament, his first tournament back, I had some sense of, you know, just don't let him win this one. You know, you want there to be some sort of
karmic in the world.
Justice in the world. You know, this is a guy who's born in with a great talent. He's made millions and millions of dollars off of it. You know, he's got obviously dozens of women, and you know, on top of that, this beautiful wife and kids and all this stuff. And he gets in a little bit of trouble, and he's going to walk back in and just be like, "Remember how great I am." Hello, I'm going to win by 10. You know, I just wanted him to, come on, just not this one. You know, I know he's going to go on and win, you know, 30 majors or whatever, but not this one. So that's kind of my feeling going into it. But I don't know. I was still appreciating all the shots and everything. I just wasn't actively rooting for him like I was, you know, a year ago.
Yeah, and he can get – I mean, this tournament, like, it's great for Phil, it's great for Tiger, because he can't go to the U.S. Open play like he did. You know, he gets away with so many more. He can make up par fives.
Right.
You know, so much, the U.S. Open courses are par 70 with two par fives. I mean, he had four eagles on the week. Unbelievable. I don't know. It's hard for me to explain why Phil plays well at the U.S. Open, even though he hasn't won one. He's been in contention a lot. But Tiger is not – you know, only at the Masters could he struggle his way to an 11 under.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting it all over the place and putted terrible, but, you know, was able to make four eagles, and all of a sudden there you are. But I don't think he was really good at Augusta. I don't know that he can be really good other places, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Anytime he enters – he should be the favorite, no question.
Yeah, I mean, he still obviously has some work to get done on his swing. He can't be, like you said, pulling it left and right and all over the place and, you know, recovering all the time, because that will take its toll at the U.S. Open. And then to go back to what Ryan was talking about with, you know, this perfect picture of athletes, I forgot to mention or forgot to chime in on that. I don't think I need that either, you know, but I think that the thing is, you don't have the facade. As long as you're not presenting yourself as that, and it's just a cycle that continues, I think you're going to see it over and over again, and people will never stop doing it. You know, people will always put those athletes up on a pedestal. I mean, Charles Barkley said, "I'm not a role model." It must have been 20 years ago, even back then, and on and on and on. People, somebody falls down, we're going to, okay, we'll pick this guy. And we'll pick this guy. And then they fall, and we'll pick this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just going to continue to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know that I need it either, but like I said, it would be nice to let yourself believe it.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh, man, boy, who knows about what he's really doing and what he's done and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to just say, isn't that great? Isn't that, you know, look at them. Look at those two crazy kids in love after all they've been through. You know, I would like to fall into that. Hey, what did you guys think of the Tiger commercial?
It didn't faze me one way or the other. It didn't bother me.
I have to say, I was surprised that the outrage, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised at the outrage too, because I thought, and I blogged about this, I thought that it, you know, there's really no right way for Nike to handle that Tiger commercial. I don't think that there was any way that they could have done something and everybody would have been like, oh, okay. I think it's something like, if they didn't acknowledge the situation, if they didn't acknowledge it, people would be like, what are they doing? They didn't acknowledge it. They're going to have, you know, show highlights of him golfing and blah, 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 or whatever it was. So I think that
should go back to him juggling the ball on his golf club. That
was yeah. But
Tiger, you know, juggles a ball like he juggles 17 women at one time.
Yeah, and they have little name tags on the balls. But no, it didn't bother me. I thought it was smart, and you know, using Earl Woods' voice, that didn't bother me either. Even though they wanted to say they're exploiting his death to promote, to sell shoes. That was my favorite line. They're promoting, they're using Earl Woods' death to sell shoes. And I was like, well, that's not exactly what they're doing. You know, I think they had to reintroduce Tiger. And yeah, I think that it does put him in a little bit of a victim's role, maybe. And that's far from the truth. But, you know, how are you going to present your biggest spokesperson who just fell from his pedestal? Are you going to chastise him in your first commercial? Well, right. they kind of walk that line of, well, we're kind of letting his father chastise him as his conscience. So I thought it was delicate, and I thought that, you know, if you're going to do it, that they did it well. Not to say that there aren't other ways to do it, but I think that they did it well, and I didn't have as much a problem with it as other people who apparently it ruined their lives.
Like I said, I didn't mind. I was surprised at the outrage, and I thought, I was curious as about that audio, you know, where it came from.
Like, yeah,
that was pretty amazing. And the people, mm-hmm, oh, it's mm-hmm out of context, blah blah blah. And then you listen to it, and you're like, no, I think it's in context, because I mean, he was comparing himself to the Tiger's mom, but it was like, she would do this, and this is what I would say if Tiger was in trouble. Well, Tiger is in trouble, and so this is what he would have said in comparison to what his mother would have said, but this is what he would have said. So I thought it was completely in bounds.
Yeah, and I think that all the parody commercials that you see on YouTube, completely in bounds too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the Saturday Night Live skit was pretty funny too.
I missed that one. See that? I have to go back and see that.
Yeah, it was pretty clever. Well, they did a Tiger Woods skit. Oh, or a master skit, and it wasn't real funny, but the in the middle of it, you know, they ran the fake Nike commercials with Keenan, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Keenan Ivory Thompson. Wait, no. Keenan Thompson.
Yeah, I think you threw in an extra name there.
Yeah, I was thinking Keenan Ivory Wayans,
right,
of the Wayans brothers.
Me too, always. Okay.
Yeah,
that's, well, I can't hear Keenan without Ivory Wayans behind it.
Right, because he's the pioneer.
Yeah.
He's the original Keenan. Yeah.
Well,
I guess.
I think we've exhausted that one.
Yeah, I think so.
And we barely talked about Phil Winning.
Phil.
How about
Phil.
How was that? Yeah. I figured he'd find a way to blow it. And I guess.
And he didn't. And that was the most surprising thing for me.
Yeah,
is that he kept putting it on and you know, hit big shot after big shot and didn't do anything that really, you know, to sabotage himself.
No,
except blow that eagle putt on 15.
That's what
13.
I was gonna say. His biggest mistake was not making eagle. You know, coming down the stretch. I mean, he didn't make eagle, so he got bird. Oh, you know, big deal.
I don't think it can be the greatest shot, you know, or whatever, be a legacy shot without making the eagle. I just don't.
Yeah. I guess, but it was a great shot.
You know what I wonder? I mean, I wonder how difficult it was in comparison to what it looked like on TV. Because if he can get a full swing, okay.
Yeah, I think smacking the club against the tree in front of him.
Well, right, and I don't know about I don't know that we know the depth between that, and I think that's someplace that could cheat a little bit.
Sure.
The TV not show it honestly enough.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm just, you know, he's my boy. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I also think it's you need to be kind of fair and realistic.
Here's what I know. I would have hit it. It would have hit the tree. It would have bounced 20 feet backwards and to the left and ended up in the rough on the other side of the fairway.
Well, are we playing this game? Then how are you getting to Augusta? Okay, I mean, like, how far do you want to take this?
I'm sneaking on in the middle of the night.
Whose corporate invitation are you going to? Yeah. You now part of Exelon or something?
I'm saying at my local course over here. That's what would happen.
Local Muni? Oh, okay.
Yeah, over at Mountaineer.
Okay.
He's playing those legend courses over there in Maryland.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I played 11. I actually made 4 there, bitches. So hard about it. Sorry, I had that one last ad. Okay, what else?
That's okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the local favorite in NFL, and that's your Pittsburgh Steelers. We have 2 players. Well, now they only have 1. But Santonio Holmes and Ben Roethlisberger, both of them.
Leaving out the kicker?
Oh, Jeff Reed. Yeah, forgot about that. Well, 3 players find themselves in some trouble. And Santonio Holmes is shipped off to New York for what Ryan says is a piece of paper and a 5th round pick.
I think originally I said a Daryl Strawberry rookie card.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you know, I have one of those, so I didn't know. I could have traded that.
Cash it in. You could have Santonio Holmes at your house.
That's right. That's right.
Santonio, guys, some cereal.
You guys need a nanny? I'm here.
Yeah. See, apparently he likes to wake and bake, so that would make my mornings exciting.
Nope.
So they send him to New York, and then, you know, Ben, who eluded charges yet again for sexual misconduct or whatever, I don't know what it was, harassment.
Sexual
or
assault.
Assault. Something. Something, you know, assault with a deadly penis.
I've had those charges brought against me before.
Yeah. So he.
Really?
I hope not. So, Ryan, Steeler expert, extraordinaire. Adam.
Roger Coskett.
Well, let's start with Santonio Holmes. How much does that hurt the Steelers? Is it something that needed to be done? Because I think that Pittsburgh is one of these organizations that has a track record that, yeah, you'd hate to see these guys go, but they seem to know. They seem to know when it's time and when to cut people loose and things like that. So I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this. I'm not saying that they got fair compensation in return. That's, I think, a different subject, but just getting rid of them in the first place.
Well, it's difficult because if you look at the situation by itself, okay, maybe, you know, they said they were actually planning on releasing him outright. So the fact that they got a 5th-round pick, I think they're trying to at least spin it that, hey, listen, we're just going to get rid of him anyway, so at least we got a pick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They have a reputation for not dealing with or not, you know, tolerating this type of behavior, you know. And I guess the problem comes when you throw the Ben Roethlisberger situation into it as well. And I don't think it's so much of an external problem, you know, PR-wise with the Steelers because, you know, fans and, you know, whatever are just going to stick with them regardless. But I think it becomes an internal problem for the Steelers because I think as a player – you would sit there and you look and you say, okay, here's our MVP, Super Bowl MVP, you know, big time receiver. And you've shipped him off to the New York Jets. And, you know, you have for, you know, obviously things that he's done off the field. And then you have Ben Roethlisberger, your white quarterback, who's, you know, has 2 incidences of the sexual assault kind of brought up against him. And he's still with the team. And, you know, and like I said, I don't think it's so much I think internally in that locker room, and maybe the Steelers have a better grasp on this than I do as a, you know, outsider, but I think there's some mending that needs to be done internally, you know, player-wise, because I think the players are looking around saying, listen, you just shipped this guy off, but you know, Ben's still here, and even though he probably more likely will be suspended or something. Steelers, I fully expect the Steelers to do something.
So do you think, I mean, not that they should, you know, get rid of them both or keep them both. I'm not saying that, but do you think, like, the Steelers don't, like, the players don't recognize that having a quarterback who's, you know, won a couple Super Bowls is probably a little bit better than having a receiver that you might be able to kind of swap out? I mean, do you think that they might be making it into a racial thing more than this is the quarterback's the most important position on the field thing?
I don't think that intelligently. Yes, I think you could look at that. I'm not saying that they even are, but I'm saying that the possibility is there.
Okay.
For it to be more of a racial thing than needs to be. I'm not saying that it is, and like I said, the Steelers probably have a better grasp of what happens inside their locker room. You know, Mike Tomlin has a better grasp of that. You know, the general manager, those people have a better grasp of what something like this would do to their locker room than I certainly would. I could just see how that could kind of happen, though. As a player, you could sit around and say, okay, you know, what's going on here, and why is he shipped off and he gets to stay, and, you know, those type of things. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that I think that I could see how that could happen.
Okay. And Holmes was also entering his contract year too, is that right? This was going to be his final year of his contract.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So I think that also makes him a little bit more expendable from that respect, because I don't think they would have re-signed him.
Well, then
that
anyway. The NFL is going to suspend him. I think the early indication is 4 games.
Right.
Could be more than that. If you're the Steelers and you believe that you're kind of holding a guy like Mike Wallace back,
mm-hmm.
you know, because now you have – and you can't say that Steelers didn't kind of prepare for this. You know, they signed Battle. They signed Randall L. They got Hines Ward, and they've got Mike Wallace. You had a plethora of wide receivers anyway. And not to mention they have not yet released Lima Swede.
Right.
So I think – everybody, when they saw the Steelers stockpiling wide receivers, said, okay, the odd man now, it's Lima Swede. Well, obviously, Steelers kind of knew a couple months ago that maybe they were planning their odd man out to be Santonio Holmes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
What percentage of this move was a moral cleaning up the locker room move, and what percentage was football?
I don't know, because I think that's, you know – some of it was maybe not a moral cleaning up the locker room move, but an appearance of that. You know, just, I don't know. I can't even put it 60-40 in favor of the football move. I would say it's more of a football move.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, that's my best guess.
I'd probably flip-flop those numbers.
I'd okay.
60-40 more of a personal, you know, you've done enough. You know, the marijuana, the Florida incident, the glass throwing, the, you know, more marijuana, you know, failing drug test, you know, all these substance abuse policy infraction, you know, last year of your contract, I guess, would be more of on the football side than, you know, cleaning it up. But yeah, I would just kind of flip flop those numbers.
Okay.
So if I had to guess.
So let's average them out to 50-50.
50-50, half and half.
So what happens with Roethlisberger? Does he get in a rehab now or something?
No.
Well, he's got a deadly penis, apparently.
Apparently.
No, I don't know. I mean, I thought I heard, or we've speculated on the Facebook page about what his penalties will be, and I seem to think that the Steelers are going to do something, but I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens to him and that he just is told, you know, one more time.
Yeah.
And you're going to be playing in Oakland. if that's not enough to scare him straight, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
They'll
take him to Oakland and show him the players. Look at these guys. Can you see the dejection in their eyes?
Yeah.
Don't be one of these players.
That's right. Here's your new receiver, Darius Hayward Day. Oh, no. Deadly penis, stay in my pants.
That's right. That's where you keep it. Now, I'm going to say, I don't know if I agree with any type of suspension for Roethlisberger. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, he's, you know, being a victim of, or not victim, but, you know, it was a consequence of going out to a club, you know, no charges were brought. Outside of that, you can basically just say, go stay at home, I guess, or keep yourself out of those situations. I mean, this isn't a Pac-Man Jones situation where you have videotape and guns are involved or anything like that. You know, it almost amounts to little more than nothing when you look at it on paper, that piece of paper you got for Santonio Holmes.
And you're right, and it looks bad. And I remember when the Duke lacrosse thing came down, I thought something bad happened that night. You know, maybe it wasn't this, but I just know all of the circumstances adding up, something. Well, turns out that wasn't true.
Right.
So, you're right that maybe perhaps penalizing him would be unfair if we don't, unless we know more. And who knows what the DA knows but couldn't prove, and what Roger Goodell knows but couldn't prove, or whatever. But you know, it would. You're right. It would probably be unfair to make that assumption that, well, it might not have been sexual assault, but he did something bad that night. You know, you never know.
Yeah, I think it's just in the context of everything else that's going on with Tiger and with the whoever else in the news. It just seems to be a wave of sexual misconduct by a bunch of athletes at this point in time. I did think it was interesting how he shaved his head before meeting with Roger Goodell. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
One day he's got a greasy mullet and he's like, you know, making his comments about the case or being, you know, no charges brought. And then, oh, I'm going to meet with Roger Goodell. Let me shave this up. Let me clean this up a bit. I found that interesting.
Uh-huh. I liked it, though. Good move.
Ryan, any Roethlisberger comments?
You know, I have a tendency to agree with you. I mean, I'm not sure suspension is even warranted, but I don't know. We'll figure out what the Steelers end up doing. I think that overall they are obviously embarrassed by everything, by the Holmes, by Roethlisberger, by Reed, if you want to throw him into here, even though he's just a kicker. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, maybe I think maybe a little bit of the Holmes move might have been a message maybe to Ben and players in general that, you know, we're not kidding around, you know, this is what we expect out of our players, and you know, we'll send you away if, you know, or cut you, or you know, whatever, if you know, you're not kind of following what our code of conduct is. So
yeah,
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's suspended, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he isn't.
Yeah,
we're still long way away from the start of the season, and I'm not going to say the stuff has a tendency to go away, but you know, the closer we get to actually playing football games,
you
know, the less talk there is about what happened, you know, or didn't happen on his birthday in Georgia. So
very true. Speaking of NFL moves, just I guess to wrap up, because we are going a little long.
Well, it's show 200. We got to go all out.
That's right. You get 200% of the original show.
I mean, I'm actually giving 200% effort, just so you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, forget the standard 110%.
You're going full 200.
Yeah.
Good to know. talk about NFL moves. One of the other big moves that doesn't involve a favorite team on this panel is McNabb to the Redskins. I mean, I was a little bit shocked by the move because I can't see – whenever you're handing over a team to a backup like Kevin Cobb, I always think Scott Mitchell. And I will forever.
You think Scott Mitchell instead of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Scott Mitchell will haunt me until I'm no longer a football fan. You know, and it's just like, oh, he had a couple good games. Let's go ahead and hand him the reins. And now I guess it makes a difference because you have Mike Vick there to back him up or to come in, and if Cobb fails, then I guess
what, Vick's not going to be the starting quarterback in Philly.
Oh wait, is this breaking news? maybe he will. Who knows? I mean, but I think that maybe that eases that move. I would be kind of pissed off if I'm McNabb, because I even though he may have wanted to go to Washington, to actually trade him within the division, I'd be like, you sit over there. You're not going to hurt us. You know, it seems, I don't know, kind of harsh. But, I mean, really, he has nothing to work with in Washington either. So Maybe Philly was right to do it that way. We're going to send you to the worst team that you would like to go to.
Well, if they were going to do that, then, well, yeah, I guess that's true. The last of your favorite.
Right.
I have a question. How is it Cobb? K-O-L-B?
Like Hyder's mind. I don't know. It's the same way as how C-O-C-H is Cook.
I guess, but everybody just seemed to like make that like a standard. Like, there, I don't even ever hear that. Like, I never hear it mispronounced, which would be easy to do, I would think. Like, as in Kolb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. You're right. I know that's off topic, that's, but
yeah, good question. Bothered me. Good question.
Thanks. That's really all I have on the Donovan. Okay.
I'm surprised that they traded him to the Reds. I'm surprised they went to a team in their own division. Like you said, Trent, they obviously are like, you know what? We're not worried. You go over there and play for the Redskins. We don't feel like you're going to come back and, you know, do any damage to us or whatever. But so, I mean, obviously they wanted to trade a quarterback. They have three that can play the position. I think it's debatable whether Vic can or not. But they felt like they had, you know, they possessed something that somebody else wanted. They didn't need three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if, and they obviously feel confident. I mean, just kind of like the Packers, everybody was kind of like, really? Really? You're telling me Aaron Rodgers is going to be your quarterback? And, you know, they were kind of right about that. So
but mean, is,
maybe they've seen enough of this kid to make that decision.
Is there any other place other than Washington? I mean, outside of Oakland, I guess.
Where old folks go to end their careers?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about McNabb to Washington, if I'm McNabb, I'm like, oh no, this is the beginning of the end for me, because there's two places that people go: Oakland and Washington, and then their career's done. And yeah, they suck, and they're like, oh, this is why we got rid of you. But they'll pay him. They're going to rework his contract, I'm sure, before the season starts, and they'll pay him a gazillion dollars a year. For 10 years, they'll sign him to some ludicrous contract, overpay him. But I think they're trying to get rid of Haynesworth now, too, which is kind of funny in and of itself. I don't know if anybody's going to trade for that contract.
So McNabb actually being the quarterback of the Redskins, is this not the first legitimate quarterback they've had in?
A
long time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, he's McNabb, he's a, you know, he's a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they
even their Super Bowl quarterbacks weren't.
No, you know, Mark Griffin. You know,
Doug Williams and
Heath Shuler. Was that?
Gus Frerotte.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then you know they've had the great quarterbacks like Danny Werfel.
I've got to think they're still going to be bad, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a quarterback makes obviously the biggest difference you can make on a team. But I don't. I think they got a lot going on.
Well, yeah. Unless they improve their offensive line, then.
Well, and they're in a very, very difficult division. I mean.
Yeah.
The Giants are good. The Cowboys are good. The Eagles are good. You know, I mean. I would give Shanahan and McNabb a chance and maybe, you know, the AFC West or something, but NFC East.
No. Yeah.
Even in the AFC East, I would give him a chance. But.
And they also picked up Larry Johnson, who is
Willie Parker.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So speaking of domestic problems, Larry Johnson, who has like four. Mm-hmm. Different incidents, I guess.
But this has been an unusual offseason for the NFL with trades, I believe. You know, the one coming down today, the Marshall trade, Marshall to the Dolphins for a second-round pick in this year's draft next year.
You usually don't see this big names move. Yeah, you're right.
And trades in general in the NFL, I mean, cause it's so hard to get kind of what a lot of people think is equal value.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, position, you very rarely do you trade a wide receiver for a wide receiver or a running back for a running back, or you know I think the last kind of big trade where everybody looked at and said, oh, that kind of evens out, was the Portis and Bailey trade.
Yeah,
you know, where you swap two big name players and, you know, obviously different positions, but where they kind of, where the whole thing kind of equaled out at the end. Mm. Been interesting. Drafts in what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
End of April?
Yeah.
Or first part of May?
It's end of April. It's going to be like a week-long event now.
Oh,
They'll televise the first five picks on Monday and, you know, the next 10 on Tuesday.
Are they doing that this year?
I think it is.
First picks on Thursday night?
I believe so.
Thursday night. Yeah.
I know.
That makes me hate the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I want all that in a condensed version. I mean, I'm not.
Well, you consider all day on Saturday a condensed version?
Well, yeah, I do. Okay, as opposed to a 4-day, you know, weekend. Yeah. I want it all right now and, you know, boom, 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 boom. It's done. You know, I don't want to sit down. I know, but I don't want to sit down. You know, like you were talking last year, you know, the draft is something you have on while you're doing other stuff. Maybe you're doing some spring cleaning. Maybe you're doing something else. You know, to put it on a Thursday night, yeah, now I'm going to have to sit down. And it's like watching like Lost or you know, Law and Order or something. You sit down and turn it on. I don't want that. I don't want my draft that way. I want it weekend long and easy consumption. Lazy consumption, I think.
Yeah, just peek your head in every once in a while, check the scroll at the bottom. Okay, my team's picking. I got about 10 minutes. I'll go wash the car or, you know, do whatever I got to do. Come back.
Yeah. Well, anymore, too. I mean, with Twitter and stuff like that, you probably don't even have to watch a draft anymore and be like, oh.
It's true.
So.
Well, I know. I think you'd be more apt to watch it. Oh, well, I mean, I think I'm definitely more apt to watch it on a Thursday night, the first round, which is really all I care about. And then the rest of them can go on Saturday. And if I say, oh, yeah, hey, how about that guy went second round?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it
gets past round three.
Although I will be in Arizona probably for the draft. So
it'll start at 4:00.
Yeah, that's right.
There goes your Thursday afternoon. That's right. You can pretend it's a Saturday.
That's right. I'll get back to my hotel room around 6:00, and I'll be able to see the Lions, the drafted Duck and Sue. How do you say his first name? I can't remember.
I think it's Cobb.
Why do I spell with an N and a G?
Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, what else you got? Anything else?
Social media time.
Social media time?
Social media time.
Okay, Ryan, why don't you tell
me? Do we have any special music for social media time?
Yeah.
Had the time of my life. Yep.
Yeah, I've had the time of my life. Cue a little Green Day. Yeah. Plenty of ways to get in contact with the Brothers in 3Z now with all the social networking. One, the newest brand new way, brothersin3z.com, or I'm sorry, geez, facebook.com/brothersin3z if you want to become a fan. It's as easy as that. Facebook.com/brothersin3z. No searching, nothing like that. Just tap that into your web browser, your internet machine there, and you can become a fan of us on Facebook. We've got discussions going. We ask questions. You answer them. You give us your thoughts, your comments. And if you're lucky enough, we'll talk about you on the show. You can send us an email at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Questions, comments, suggestions can be sent there. And also you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/brothersin3z.
There you go. Can't be any easier than that, I don't think. Just can come to your house and type it in there for you. I guess that would make it easier.
But then we could just talk if you were actually in our house.
That's right.
We could just talk it out.
Yeah. We could just sit around your computer and talk to you. So with that, we're going to put episode 200. We'll put episode 200 in the books. I know. Confetti. Balloons. Drinks. Okay. I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening. And for Ryan and Adam, this is Trent saying, remember, the next one is on us. Adam, FYI, you have another user signed in.
This guy trying to steal things out of your office.
Mm-hmm. Signed on to your AIM.
Oh, that's probably just...
You just probably left it open. At work.
Yeah, probably did. Yeah. Gotta hope so.
Yeah. Well, it says it's been idle for 6 hours, so I figured.
Yeah. That's good. That's right.
Yeah. Oof. I thought you were trying to catch a predator. Maybe you had the camera on.
Can you tell me what you were planning on doing with this 13-year-old boy? Hey, so did you see our media guide finished third in the country? Football?
I saw some sort of tweet or post or...
Yeah, that's not the best part. The best part was about, I don't know, 25 minutes after that, somebody's parent got on there and said, how come Jones wasn't in the media guide? He's your best offensive lineman, and to not have him in it is ridiculous. Okay, it's that kid's mom.
Sure.
Okay. And the kid transferred and got to us on August 14th, 2 weeks after our deadline. But what is her problem? she eventually deleted it, but it was in there long enough for me to fume about it for 5 hours. I mean,
oh, you should have told me. I would have gotten on there.
Well, I screenshotted it.
Oh, darn it.
Well, anybody that says that, I didn't think this back off. I mean, I was just...
Should have been like, keep this up, lady. He won't be in next year's either.
I'll conveniently forget him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was... It's like, hey, we did something good. Oh, but what about this?
Here, let me...
Which isn't even, valid. It's not like we omit... You know what I mean? Like, listen, I've done that. I've missed people before, but this wasn't one of those things.
Hey, you've done something good. Now here, let me poop all over it.
Yeah, but it wasn't even like congratulations, but it was just straight into the diatribe.
Yeah.
And now I want to strangle her with my bare hands.
That's why you should.
I was like, this is why, I mean, like, ruined my day. It's not often that you, like, you know, in my line of work that we're actually recognized for something. So just give me an hour. An hour I would have taken. No. What a bitch.
And let me ask you this. Is he really your best offensive lineman?
Well, no.
No. Of course not.
I found out something, or I did something today for our Facebook page, the Brothers page. I found a way that if you go, you can add like a little, I guess this is an official URL for the site. So people who aren't our friends or whatever. But it's facebook.com/brothersin3z. So it's kind of like the Twitter feed. It's the same thing. And it never had that before. So if you'd like to pimp it out, as the kids say, you can that way. So it's facebook.com/brothersin3z all together, no hyphen, anything like that.
Hey, Trent, we were down to 118, but now we're back up to 121.
There you go.
We keep losing people. I wonder why. Don't people like us?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Do you guys get the Facebook or the Facebook updates to tell you how many people have been to the page and those type of things?
Yeah. Your admins? Okay. Yeah, that's how Adam knew we lost one.
Yeah.
Said fans minus one.
But we got the over 300 and some visits, which I thought was crazy. Because, I mean, I only go 150 times.
there was a website that I saw that hosts live web shows for free. Like, we could do this show live and have, like, callers, and I forget what it was called.
Well, that doesn't help us.
Yeah, I know. It's like that. Did I say? Huh?
You
no,
can
no,
do
no.
that on Ustream, can't you?
Yeah, well, you can, but this one is, like, more geared towards, like, radio. It was, like, you know what I mean?
Like internet radio?
Yes, talk. So talk radio, internet, free.
Do a little search here, and I would shout out names to you. Would you be able to?
It's like Google Tourette's. Blog Talk Radio. Show that. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
Talk radio podcast. Yes, that's what it is.
I'll read up on it when I'm in Arizona.
Yeah, when do you leave for that?
Sunday.
How come you couldn't? It wouldn't have been nice if you could go there in the winter.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go there and it's going to be 500 degrees.
Well, yeah.
You're going to be a bun in your own oven.
face of the sun.
Yeah. And I was thinking today, as I was sitting down to watch the Penguins at 7:30, this is going to start at 4:30 when I'm in Arizona.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that is true. I think there's some benefits to that, though.
Well, there is. I mean, except for that I won't get to see those
games.
You'll
be at work.
Yeah. The ones on Friday, it's like this Friday, it starts at 6:30 Eastern time. I've missed the first two periods easily.
But you could watch the World Series when it starts at 10.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
That's true. That's true. So I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to tell us
got Sports Center's on.
Yeah. I'll be able to watch the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and all those teams as much as I want. And spending 35 years on the East Coast, as much as I want to watch the West Coast teams, is not at all.
I wonder if you have any chance of getting into an Arizona game.
Diamondbacks? I would say it's probably pretty good. I mean,
No, basketball.
Oh.
Like if they're in the playoffs.
Well, Phoenix is a long way away from me.
Oh. I thought, you know, when you're in Arizona, everything's the same. All right, then.
All right, episode 200. What is this? Gold Platinum Anniversary Edition? Something like that?
I don't know that anybody's
bedazzled,
ever gotten to that.
Is it the Bedazzled? One. Bedazzled Anniversary? I don't know.
Vajazzled.
Bicentennial?
Whoa.
What?
No, you're a Vajazzled?
So you've not heard this?
I've never heard that quite that term. I don't believe it.
No. I mean, and like, don't. Why is that mainstream trend?
Adam? Have you not heard of this?
No, clearly
women,
not.
Women decorating their genitals with jewelry?
What? I mean, why would you think that why are you so shocked that...
Here's why.
I can't believe you're like, you haven't heard of this?
Well, because you're a frequent visitor of TMZ.
Oh, you know what? I haven't been there in a while.
Oh.
But... So that's what's going on there?
Well, no, not today, but I mean, it's been a couple months, but I think Jennifer Love Hewitt was the one who was talking about vajazzling.
What does that entail? Can you describe it to me?
I have
any pictures?
No, I don't have any pictures. I don't know. I mean, I think there's probably no comfortable way to do it. I mean, you'd think it'd incorporate a hot glue gun and plastic jewels.
I'm guessing not a hot glue gun.
No?
I guess that's the female version of the family jewels. That's true.
So, I mean, I would not put the hot glue gun out of the realm of possibility.
It has to be something to withstand where, you know, if somebody's wearing pants or something like that, to, you know.
What's this term called? Jazz. Oh, geez, I even type a VAG, Stand. And that's the first thing that comes up.
Booyah. Stan? Get us.
I just want to know how they're attached.
Stan,
yeah.
You have to lay down and be a victim to this.
Ryan just wants to know how they're attached.
Wow.
Images.
Whoa. Jennifer Love Hewitt is apparently a...
Didn't I just say that?
He wasn't listening.
Sorry. I must have been doing something else. I must have been twittering ahead of time. Interesting.
Do we have any pictures of Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No, there's some sort of video on this one site about
that. I'd look at that.
Yeah.
No, there aren't a lot. Yeah. Well, I mean...
Now, would that make it a... No, would that make it a jewelry box?
Nice.
Yeah, like that?
Yeah. I wanted to say family jewels.
But that's what we call nuggets.
I know. Nuggets.
Well, and the jewelry box is where you put your family jewels anyway.
Oh my.
Did you guys get a expected due date today?
Yes, 11/21.
Okay, I was assigned to find that out.
Yes, 11/21.
Yeah, I was too, and I forgot. So good job.
Thanks.
This is going to be a Thanksgiving type deal.
Yeah. they're saying that she's 8 weeks and 3 days. Along.
Cool.
Far along.
So. If it's a boy, will you name it Miles Standish? I don't know. I was thinking Pilgrim. So when do you fly out to Arizona?
Sunday morning. I think my flight's like 7:50. It's funny because it looks like the flight's like 2 hours long. Because I leave at 7:50 and get there like 10 o'clock.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Time zones.
I am time traveling.
I know.
It's if funny. You ever want to know what's happening in the future, just call us. We'll tell you.
Okay.
Is that Kate Plus 8 still around?
Yes, she is. But I don't know.
Oh. Did you know what I read? I can't remember what.
That's a publicity stunt to keep her on there.
I've read that Hugh Hefner rejected her. That she wanted
to. What?
That she wanted to do a Playboy spread, and Hefner said no.
That's probably a good move.
Oh yeah, that's why he's the Hef.
I mean, because can you look at that thing and not think that like
a clown car?
Kids were yeah.
Yeah. Volkswagen Bug.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where I was going.
I was thinking the other day about how long this podcast has gone and life events that have happened. I think the podcast has seen the birth of both of Adam's kids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And thinking, was it my wedding? Or did we?
What year did you get married?
2005.
Nope.
No, just after.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Couldn't remember when it started. 2006 is when it.
Mm-hmm. February.
Good Lord. It's a lot. Hope you had.
Now this is where you play the time of your life. Exactly. Cue the music and now.